The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Talk to you about the seven trees in the wilderness. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to be reading through 17 through 20. And the reason I want to share this message with you is that it comes right out of my own experience with God and things that I've gone through. Now, this particular message does not originate with me. I actually got this title and the content of the message from Apostle Mark Piper. I heard him preach this. And I thought it was a fantastic message. It really spoke to me as I was going through some situations in my life. And I was able to hear exactly what God was saying to me about staying on track and hearing what he was doing and watching what he was doing in my life. So these seven trees in the wilderness are trees that God has planted in the wilderness for our benefit. Every person alive on the face of the earth goes through stuff in their life, correct? Everybody in here goes through things? Okay. You know, and whether you're a believer or a non-believer, the Word of God says it rains on the just and the unjust. It does not matter. The difference between a believer and a non-believer is a believer has God walking through those situations with us and bringing us out on the other side. I feel like we have greater hope when we go through things than people outside of the kingdom of God, because we have our God with us. No matter what we experience, he is there, and he has promised that he will be there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will always walk with us. So it's important that we can see that stuff is going to happen to people. However, sometimes we're at fault. Amen? How many have ever been at fault by the things that you go through? Okay, hallelujah, we're in good company. We don't have liars in here this morning. We all know exactly. The fact is, we do things wrong, we make mistakes, we sometimes intentionally do wrong, and whether we like it or not, there are consequences when you do wrong. The choices that you make all have consequences. Sometimes those consequences are good consequences. If you sow good seed, hallelujah, you're going to get good seed. You know, good crop is going to come up. If you sow bad seed, you're going to get some bad crop. You know, the old thing that I heard many, many years ago was that many people will sow their wild oats on the weekend, and then Sunday morning they come to church and pray for a crop failure. It doesn't work, believe me. It does not work. Because when you sow, you are going to reap. My brother planted a garden this year, and he had some seed that he had had for a while. And he sowed it in that garden, and very few things came up. Don't know, it was bad seed. Something happened. But what did come up was pretty ugly and gnarly looking. And that's the kind of things that come up in our life when we sow bad seed. It's ugly and it's pretty gnarly looking stuff that we have to deal with. But I want you to understand this, that even if you are the problem, even if you created the problem in your life, you have a God that says if you will turn to him, he will forgive you and he will set you back on the right track. And that's good news. That is great news to me, because that means that no matter how ignorant I am or no matter how stupid I am, because there is a huge difference. Ignorance is because we don't know. Stupidity is because we don't care. Right? So sometimes we're stupid. Are you guys getting this? Okay. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's some things that we don't like to talk about in the body of Christ. We like to pretend sometimes that everything is always going to be smooth and wonderful. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a believer in Jesus Christ for many long years, it's not a smooth trail. There are difficulties. There are problems. There are issues that arise. The enemy is out there with traps, trying to trap you, ensnare you. The world is throwing things at you. There's all kinds of issues and difficulties that you're going to have to live through. But you have a great and mighty God that is on your side, a powerful God. But here's what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. You may want to change that. Turn there. I don't think we have that scripture. I'll read it to you. My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, how many of us live in that scripture in our life? I don't see a hand. Not one of us can raise our hand. I have to hold mine down, because I can tell you, most of the time when I go through trials, I am not a very joyful person. Amen? So that means that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to really change our thought process and our attitudes. We have to really come to the realization that these things that are happening in our life, these trials, these difficulties, this wilderness experience that we go through, has a benefit for our life, and we need to be joyful about what God is doing. That is a task. And that means that we have to change the way we look at the circumstances. We've got to stop looking at the circumstances as if the enemy has control and he's bringing all this stuff into our life and God can't stop it. We've got to recognize, we've got to start looking at it from the perspective that God allows it to happen for our benefit. Oh, that's not good, is it? That's not fun. We don't like that, because it goes on to say, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God brings these things. He allows these things. He doesn't bring evil into your life, but He allows things to happen in your life so that you will be complete in every area of your life. Now, when we step back and we look at our circumstances in that from that perspective, I think that we can get a different attitude about what we go through. And we can begin to recognize that there can be some joy in this, because God is allowing this to happen so that I can be a better believer in Jesus Christ. So that I can have more power and more substance in my life as a believer. So that I can become more of what God wants me to be. So we got to understand, when we go through stuff, God has a plan to walk us through the wilderness. I want to say that again. God, no matter what you're going through, God has a plan to walk you through the wilderness. And these seven trees that we're going to talk about, we're going to begin talking about, I'm not going to get through each and every one of them this morning, that we're going to begin talking about. These seven trees happen to be planted in your wilderness as you go through this wilderness for you to be able to run to for shelter, for shade, for sustenance, for whatever it is that you need. Each and every one of them has a purpose. And if you will learn to run to these trees when you're in the wilderness, you will be able to go through the wilderness experience that you have in your life with joy, knowing that God's taking you out to the other side. Now, most of these trees that we're going to be talking about are trees that grow in well-watered, fertile areas. But this is what is so incredible about this. God said that I'm going to plant them in your wilderness. In a dry and barren place, these trees will be planted for you so that you can run to them. Hallelujah. Let's look at Isaiah 41, verse 17. The poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. God has promised that when we have need, when we're in a dire situation, when we are truly thirsty for Him to quench our thirst, that He will provide the water for us. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Now, you got to understand what was happening during this period of time. The children of Israel were being taken into exile. This was truly a wilderness time in their life. It was a difficult time. And Isaiah is telling them, he's saying, listen, even though this seems like a horrible thing in your life, God still has a plan. He didn't want this to happen to you. It happened because of your rebellion. However, God still has a plan for your life and for your descendants' life. God will not forsake His people. He promises that. Now let's go on. Verse 19, I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. God is the one that's going to plant these trees. Count them. There are seven trees there. And He plants them in the wilderness as we go through our wilderness experiences. He has made provision for His people. Let me give you a mathematical equation. E plus R equals O. Event plus reaction equals outcome. Now, this is very important because your reaction to the wilderness sometimes can determine the outcome of the situation. You must realize that your reaction to what is coming your way should be based on the Word of God, not on your emotion. And I'm talking about good things and bad things. Listen, just because there's a lot of emotional display and there's a great emotional atmosphere does not necessarily mean that God is in it. We've got to test everything, test all the spirits, and make sure that God is the one that's in this thing. I will never be opposed to people getting excited in the Lord. We need more excitement. My goodness, we get excited about all kinds of things. I sat around and watched the Spurs get beat the other night by Oklahoma with Randy and Randy. The two Randys. And, you know, we got excited during certain parts of that game. We got excited when the Spurs would hit a three-pointer. Thinking, you know, they're gonna do this thing. They're gonna win this game. And then we got pretty disappointed toward the end of that game when we found out that they wasn't going to win. Now, I didn't get nearly as disappointed as Randy Faulks, because the Spurs is his team. He's always rooted for the Spurs. But in that, you know, there was good things and there was bad things, and we get emotional about all kinds of things, baseball games, basketball games, football games, parties. You know, we get excited. We need to get excited about church, about worshiping our God. We need to have some excitement about the fact that our God is the God of all creation. There is no God above him. And we serve him. And it's exciting to be able to come together with believers on Sunday morning and worship the living God. We need to get excited about that. On the other hand, we need not to allow our emotions to rule us and do nothing but have excitement. If you've got excitement without the content of the Word of God, you still have nothing. You've got to have the Word of God. And it's all got to line up with the Word of God and be clearly from God and through the Word of God. So, you know, I'm just trying to say to you that we need to make sure we have a balance in these things. In Romans 8, 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are the called according to His purpose." How many of you are the called according to His purpose? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are the called according to His purpose. His people are the called according to His purpose. And He has promised that all the things that we go through are going to work for our benefit. That doesn't mean they're all going to feel good. Doesn't mean they're all going to be wonderful. It means they're all going to work for our benefit. When Joseph was with his brothers, and his brothers took him and sold him into slavery in Egypt, it was very important, Joseph's attitude throughout that whole situation. His brothers wanted to kill him. If it hadn't been for his eldest brother, they would have. Instead, they sold him into slavery and told their father that he had been killed by a wild animal. Joseph maintained his faith and his attitude toward God. He went into Potiphar's house, and once again, he was betrayed. He maintained his attitude and his faith in God. He went into prison. He maintained and he continued and he prospered there as well. Took care of people. And he was promoted to a place of prominence in the prison. The baker and the cupbearer came in and he had dreams for them. Of course, we know the baker, he ended up losing his head over the whole thing because he had done something wrong. But the cupbearer went back to the king. And Joseph said, "Remember me when you go to the king." And he didn't remember him for a long time. He didn't tell the king what had happened. He didn't tell him about Joseph and how Joseph had been betrayed. It took a long time for things to happen for Joseph. Many years passed before Joseph fulfilled the vision that God had given him. And he moved in finally because the king had a dream. He finally moved into a place of prominence because he was able to interpret that dream. And he became the second in command in all of Egypt. But he went through some stuff. We all know that, right? We like the end of the story. And when we read through that story, we already know the end of the story, so it's not such a big deal to us. But I want to tell you something. It was a big deal to Joseph when he was sold into slavery. It was a big deal when he was put into prison. It was a big deal for him to have to go through this junk in his life. And yet God had a plan. When his brothers stood before him, after it was all over with, he said to his brothers, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." That's the perspective we've got to get hold of. We've got to realize that no matter what it is that's happening in our life, no matter who has done something to us, no matter what we go through, we've got to get the perspective that maybe the enemy means this for evil, to destroy us. But our God is able to take it and make good of it in our life. Keep that perspective as we walk through this. Throughout the history of the world, there's been many people groups who have created all kinds of military devices, and the sword is probably one of the greatest inventions of all time. And they've been trying, you know, many tribes and many peoples have tried to perfect the sword. But there was one group of people that truly did perfect the making of a sword, and that is the Japanese. And down through the centuries, they came up with the best possible way to make swords. What they found out was that if you made a sword with soft metal, soft steel, that it wasn't able to cut through things like armor. But if you made it out of hard steel, it wouldn't last very long because it would shatter. It was too hard. So what they came up with was a laminating system, where they laminated a layer of soft steel and a layer of hard steel, layer of soft steel and a layer of hard steel. And they did this up to 33,000 times, 1/100th of an inch each layer, laminated one on top of the other. But the product that came from that was a superior sword that would hold its edge and that would cut a man's head off with one swipe. An incredible weapon. What are you thinking about?
That's pretty
graphic. But they did this by layering. By laminating. God does that in our life. I want you to understand what the reason that you go through some of these things in your life is because God is laminating you. He's layering you. He's preparing you. He's making you to the point that you will be so sharp in the future that the enemy dare not stop you. Power. You see? That's how sharp you will be. That's how sharp you are. That's how sharp you're going to be. And you'll be even sharper as you go through these situations, being laminated by the Holy Spirit and the power of God. You know, one of the things I think about is I think about the journey that the children of Israel took from Egypt. From Egypt to the land of Canaan. And the reality is that journey, the sources that I found, said that journey really shouldn't have taken more than 5 days. With a troop as large as they had, which was probably 2 to 3 million people, it could have taken up to 11 days from Egypt to the land of Canaan. Now, we know it took them a lot longer than that. I'm not exactly sure. I know that they went to Mount Sinai, and they encamped around Mount Sinai and in that area for almost a year. So it took them a long time to get to the land of Canaan, where God, the promised land where God was leading them. And the purpose for all that, if you read through it, you see God had to give them the law. God had to test their faith. God had to see what kind of people they were. And you know what? In the end of all that, they failed the test. When they were supposed to go into the land, they sent the spies in. What happened? The spies, 10 of those spies came back and said, "We are nothing but grasshoppers in the eyes of those giants." They failed the test. And they didn't get to go into the land. It was 40 more years before that happened. Generation had to pass away. And new people with new faith. We don't want that to happen in our life, do we?
No, sir.
We want to walk by faith. We want God to entrust us with great things. I believe God has given Bethel Worship Center a mandate to do great and mighty things in a 50-mile radius of this church. And we, the generation that is here now, has to rise up and be willing to do what God has told us to do. We have to hear the voice of God and respond to it, not being afraid of the giants that might present themselves before us. Because there's giants out there. And they want to stop us. They want to stop you. So as you go through this wilderness experience, and we've gone through some wilderness, I'll tell you that. As I said, these things that I'm talking about, this morning come right out of my experience with God. So let's look at the first tree that God said He would place in our life as we go through the wilderness. And that first tree we find in verse 19, is the cedar tree. When you go through the wilderness, you will go from tree to tree as God has made provision for you. If you are looking for those trees, if you understand what the trees are. Cedar is an interesting wood. Cedar has a wonderful fragrance to it. Many people build cedar chests, or they used to in the past. Is there anybody in here has cedar chest? Several of you, okay. Cedar chests were meant to keep very valuable things in. Cedar speaks of preservation. Cedar is a beautiful wood. One of the things that we know is that Solomon built and used cedar in much of the building of the temple, the first temple. It was beautiful, and it would have had a wonderful fragrance every time you walk in. I know people that have built whole closets out of cedar so that they can store things in, because it's preservation. One of the other things that we're going to talk a little bit more about is that it's insect repellent. Don't have to worry about insects when you have cedar. For some reason, that's the way it is. But here's the thing that I want us to see from cedar, is that cedar speaks to us about the kingdom of God, about the temple of God, and about the throne, because Solomon built his throne out of cedar. And it speaks to us about running to God rather than running away from God. Now, here's what happens when we go through these wilderness experiences. I don't know about you, but this is what happens to me. The enemy tries to tempt me to pull back from God. I get to the point where I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like seeking God. I don't feel like being around other Christians. I don't feel like worshiping. I don't feel like doing the things that are necessary to be able to move on through this wilderness experience. Because I'm telling you, you need and I need to have God close to us when we go through these things. So the thing that we need to do is run to that first tree. We need to run to the shelter of that first tree and not run away from it. We need to get under that tree, because under that tree is worship. The Word of God in Psalms chapter 22, I believe 22:3, it says that God enthrones the praises of His people. It doesn't just say He happens to come in and out. It says He enthrones those praises. How powerful is that for us to recognize that when we come in here on Sunday mornings, we have the opportunity to have God's throne come right down here in the presence of us, because we praise Him. And it's not just on Sunday mornings. When you're in your house, no matter where you are, whatever you're doing, in your car, praise the Lord. Get some music that you love to praise the Lord. I don't care what kind it is. If it moves you, put it in. Be a part of it. Turn it on. Whatever it takes. But let the praises of God rise up out of you, because that is the thing that will sustain you as you go through this wilderness experience. That cedar speaks of the throne of God and the power of God. And when we come to the throne of God and we're going through these things, we need to pause for a minute. We need to pause before God, and we need to listen to what He has to say. We need to understand what is going on in our life. We need to ask God, what is going on, God? There's nothing wrong with asking God what's going on. If you're in a wilderness situation, you need to find out, did I do something wrong, God? Ask Him. He'll tell you. If not, that's okay. But ask God, okay, God, what is going on? Okay, then, God, what is not going on? What's not going on around me? What is it that's created this situation, or what is it that's keeping me from moving forward with You? God wants that kind of intimate relationship with us so that we can walk with Him on a daily basis and we will hear His voice. That was the thing about Moses. Moses heard the voice of God. And Jesus came and set us all straight and sent us the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would live inside of each and every one of us and we could hear the voice of God on our own. We don't have to have somebody else tell us what God is saying. I hear God. You know, the world says you're crazy when you say you hear God. That's right. I say you're crazy if you're not hearing God.
That's right.
Because Jesus said this. He said, "My sheep will know my voice." Listen, the Bible is very clear. God's people are supposed to hear what God is saying to them. He said He would write upon our hearts the commandments. We don't have to just read them. They're in us. They're a part of us. Yes, I hear from God. I hear God speak to me all the time. Sometimes I have to work on discerning. Is that your voice, God? Or is that another voice that I'm hearing? We have to learn that and discern that. But God speaks. And God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you through His Word. He's speaking to you through your heart and your mind. He's speaking to you through other people in the kingdom. He uses words of wisdom and knowledge. He uses prophecy to confirm to you what God is saying in your heart. That's the way all that works. So that you can grow up in the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, or 12, verse 24, Jesus is accused of casting out demons by the ruler of demons. You know what that ruler of demons' name was? It was a Philistine name, Beelzebub. And Beelzebub means ruler of the flies, of insects. You see, the cedar speaks to us about the insect repellent. The repellent of the demonic forces that try to come and attack us by running to the throne of God. Because when we get in the presence of the throne of God, I'm going to tell you, there isn't a demon anywhere around you when you come into the presence of God. They can't stand the presence of God. It scares them. They are scared to death, if there is such a thing for demons. They're scared to hell, I guess. Praise God. They cannot stand in the presence of our God. The Word of God says they hear God and they know God and they tremble because of God. You see, here's part of it. When we come into the presence of God and we worship our God, we praise Him and He's enthroned on our praises and we have the presence of God all around us, we begin to realize who we are in Jesus Christ. We begin to realize the power that we have. And that's part of the problem. When we go through the wilderness, instead of drawing closer to God and recognizing that we have power in our lives, we'll draw back away from it. So when we stand in the presence of our living God, we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a few weeks ago, I had to tear a porch out one of the rental properties. I thought I was just going to replace a couple of boards. And when I got in there, I found out that there was a lot more damage than that. This is real typical when I go to do a project. It always, you know, I think, well, it's going to be easy. Yeah, it's never easy. So I had to end up taking half that porch out. But what I found out when I got in there, there was termite damage. And the boards didn't look bad from the outside, but there was just a shell there. On the inside, it had been completely eaten up. That's what the enemy desires to do to us. The demonic forces, if they can get some kind of a stronghold in our life, they will make a shell out of the person that you are.
Come on.
And yet, we have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ to run to the throne of God, to be in the presence of God, to recognize the power of God, and not allow them to have any kind of power and authority in our life. I believe we give way too much credit to the demons. Yes. We have nothing to fear. Mm-hmm. We have power. And they do not dare. They dare not come against a child of the living God who knows who he is, he or she is in Christ. Amen. They know they're going to lose. They're a defeated foe. Here's what we got to understand. That God has given us everything that we need to accomplish what he wants us to. And when we go through the wilderness, he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. We just have to run to it. Run to the throne. How many of you saw the commercial a few years ago? It's a FedEx commercial, and it was a spoof on the movie Castaway. Anybody remember it? Some of you may have seen the movie. I've seen just parts of it. Castaway, Tom Hanks was marooned on an island, okay, and he, evidently there was something to do with a gift that he kept and he gave to somebody. Well, they did a spoof on it with the FedEx guy, and he comes up looking all ragged and haggard, and he gives this gift to the person, and he tells them that he kept that all the time that he was on this, all the years he was on this island, and he brought it to her, and she opens it, and she just says thanks to him, and she closes the door, and he's real anxious about what was in that thing, so he knocks on the door, and she opens up, and he said, "Can I ask you what's in it?" And she said, "Oh yeah, it was just a satellite telephone, a global positioning device, a compass, a water purifier, and some seed." You understand, he was on this desert island with this package that whole time. He had everything he needed to get off the island, and he didn't open it. We have everything we need to go through the wilderness. God has equipped you. And he's even equipping you above and beyond what you have now by taking you through the wilderness. You have it. We have to run to these things that God has given us. Amen. Okay, the next one is the acacia tree. This is the last one I'm going to share with you this morning. It's a bush-like tree. It's thought to have been possibly the tree that Moses saw, the burning bush. Now, no one really knows that, but they're so plentiful in that area that it's a possibility. What we do know about it is that God instructed Moses to use it to build most of the furniture in the tabernacle. He built, that was the framework, and then he overlaid everything with pure gold. And the reason that they chose that wood is because of its strength. It is very strong and long-lasting. Most of us don't do this anymore, but I remember back many years ago when my grandfather would build fence, the only thing he would use was locust trees. Locust was the only post that would be used because locust would last forever. He would take locusts and he'd split it, and then he'd make, you know, he'd get a post about that big around, split, and he'd have two posts for a fence. And he put that in the ground, and many of those posts are still there today because they just last and last and last. It speaks of strength and the ability to last through the difficult times, perseverance. This is what God has given us with this acacia tree. This is a tree that we can run to because we get our strength from our God. But it's not just from God. We get our strength from the Word of God. You see, when we're going through wilderness and we're going through a difficult time, we not only need to run to that cedar tree and worship God, but we need to run to that acacia tree, the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what will sustain you. The Word of God is what will keep you on track. The Word of God is what will encourage you and build you up. The Word of God is that powerful. Let me give you a few scripture that David used in regards to the Word of God. Psalms 18:2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He said that God is his stronghold. Then he goes on to say in Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. I'll say it again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So David said, God's our strength. I'm going to wait on him. But while I'm waiting, Psalms 119, verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. You see, David understood that it was the word of God that would strengthen him and cause him to be able to wait on God. He knew that God was his strength. He knew that he had to wait, but he had to wait faithfully by standing on the word of God. Psalms 56 verse 4 says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. Psalms 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the word of God. That's what the acacia tree speaks to us. It speaks to us about the strength that we receive from the word of God. I think I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago about the fact that we've gone through some issues, some situations, times in our life, in our personal life, stuff in church, things that just, it seems like one thing upon another. And sometimes I forget what the Lord has said to me because of the pressure. And I just want you to understand that I go through some of the same kind of things that you go through. And yet, God is faithful. And God used Bud Wilson to remind me of a scripture that God had given. I memorized it. I memorized it. It's Joshua. But I memorized Joshua 1, 8, and 9. But God spoke to Bud and said, told me to focus on verse 9. Because verse 9 says, and it made all the difference in the world from my perspective. Because verse 9 says, I've commanded you, be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I want to tell you, that made a huge difference in my attitude toward what I was going through. It was a reminder of how powerful the Word of God is in my life and what God has spoken to me. You've got to get the Word of God. You've got to get if you're going through something, find a word from the Scripture that speaks to you and repeat it, memorize it, make it a part of your life every day, because that's where you're going to get your strength from, is from that thing. Hebrews, from the Word. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We talked about the sword, remember? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. That's the thing that will set you on the right course. Is the Word of God, because it discerns between things that we are unable to discern from. It caused that situation I just explained to you. It caused me to discern that I'm still on the right track. I'm still hearing from God. I'm still moving in the right direction. And God said that wherever I go, He's with me. Amen. How many have ever heard of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit? Anybody in here ever heard of Oswald? Maybe not. Some of you, you know, I'm not surprised no one's ever heard of it because it's kind of a strange story. But you'll understand once I tell you what happened. During World War II, there was this cartoonist that used to entertain the other troops by drawing cartoons, doing, you know, of each of the other troops and different cartoons and stuff. And when he got out, he went into the emerging business of cartooning. And there was a company that was just coming up, was becoming very successful, of doing cartoons. So this guy was very talented, so he drew this rabbit, Oswald, the lucky rabbit. And it was becoming very very famous. It was very successful. He made enough money that he and his wife could take a trip from California to New York. And it was a train at that time. It was very expensive to do that. But he had made enough money to do that. And they deserved a rest, so they went to New York. While he was in New York, his brother called him and said, listen, there's trouble. There's big trouble. Because of a loophole in the contract, the company has sold your rights to Oswald. What that meant was that he was unable to even sketch Oswald for the rest of his life. It was no longer his. He was crushed. You can imagine how that was a real wilderness experience for him. He got on the train and started back, he and his wife. And on his way back, he sketched this little character. And he showed it to his wife. And she said, I really like that. What do you call him? He said, oh, I call him Mortimer. Mortimer? She said, I like the character, but I don't like the name. She said, let's call him Mickey. So they called him Mickey Mouse. And they went from nothing to what we know of today, Disney World, Disneyland, and all the incredible things that Walt Disney was able to accomplish. And I'll tell you that story because I don't know whether Walt Disney was a believer or not. I kind of doubt it. But if a man like Walt Disney could overcome the kind of obstacle that was thrown at him, we who have Jesus Christ on our side, we who have the strength of the Word of God, who can run to the cedar tree, who can run to the acacia tree and receive our strength, how much more can we accomplish in our lifetime and in our life? There are some incredibly talented, gifted people in this congregation. Mm-hmm. You just have to know that God has called you to do something with what He's given you. Stand with me. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.